19. The Demon's War. Charcoal and chalk on black paper. It should have ended there. That would have been best, wouldn't it? A fallen god, a dead demon, two broken souls limping back toward life. That would have been the end that this tale deserved, I think. Quiet. Ordinary. But that wouldn't have been good for you, would it? Too lacking in closure, not dramatic enough. I will tell myself then that what happened next was a fortunate thing, though even now it feels anything but. I slept deeply that night, despite my fear of what was to come, despite my worry about Paitia and the others, despite my cynical suspicion that the Lord Aramiri would find some other way to keep me under his graceful, kindly thumb. My arm had healed completely, so I stripped off the bandages and the sling and the sigil script, took a long, deep bath to celebrate the absence of pain, and curled up against Shiny's warmth. He shifted on the bed to make room for me, and I felt him watching me as I fell asleep. Sometime after midnight, I woke with a start, blinking in disorientation as I rolled over. The room was quiet and still. Sky's magical walls were too thick to let me hear movement in the halls beyond, or even the sound of the wind that must surely be fierce outside, up so high. In that, I preferred the House of the Risen Sun, where at least there had been small sounds of life all around me, people walking through the corridors, chanting and songs, the occasional creaking and groaning of the tree as it swayed. I would not miss the house or its people, but being there had not been wholly unpleasant. Here there was only the quiet, bright, glowing stillness. Shiny was asleep beside me, his breathing deep and slow. I tried to remember if I'd had a nightmare, but could recall nothing. Pushing myself up, I looked around the room because I could. There would be things I'd miss about Sky, too. I saw nothing, but my nerves still jumped and my skin still tingled, as if something had touched me. Then I heard a sound behind me like tearing air. I whirled, my thoughts frozen, and it was behind me, a hole the height of my body, like a great open mouth. Stupid. Stupid. I had known he was still out there, but thought myself safe in the stronghold of the Aramiri. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I was halfway across the bed, dragged by the hole's power before I could open my mouth to cry out. Convulsively, my hands locked on the sheets, but I knew it was futile. In my mind's eye, I saw the sheets simply pull free of the bed, fluttering uselessly as I disappeared into whatever hell Date had built to hold me. There was a jerk, so hard that friction heat burned my knuckles. The sheets had caught on something. A hand wrapped around my wrist. Shiny. I shot backward into the terrible metal roar, and he came with me. I felt his presence even as I screamed and flailed, even as the feel of his hand on my wrist faded into cold numbness. We tumbled through trembling darkness, falling sideways into sensation and solidity. I struck the ground. Ground? First. Hard enough to jar the breath from my body. I felt the breath. Shiny landed nearby, uttering a grunt of pain. But at once he rolled to his feet, pulling me up too. I caught my breath and looked around wildly, though I could see only darkness. Then my eyes caught on something. A faint, blurry form, curled and fetal, hovering amid the dark. Date? But it did not move, and then I saw the shimmer of something between me and the form, like glass. I turned again, trying to comprehend, and saw another murky form, hovering in the dark, beyond the glass. This one I recognized by her brown skin. Keter. She did not move. I reached for her, but when my hands encountered the glassy dark, they stopped. It was solid, enclosing us entirely above and around. A bubble of normality, carved out of the empty's hellish substance. I turned again, and there was Date. He was closer to us than the blurry forms, on the other side of the wide room that the bubble formed. I wasn't sure he knew we were there, though his will had brought us here, because his back was to us, and he was crouched amid sprawled bodies. I could not see the bodies, except where their dimness occluded my view of Date. But I could taste blood in the air, thick and sickly and fresh. I heard the sounds I had hoped never to hear again, tearing flesh, chewing teeth. I stiffened and felt Shiny's hand tighten on my wrist, so he too could see Date, which meant there was light in this empty world, and it meant Shiny could see which of his children lay around us, sprawled and desecrated, the magic of their lives long gone. Tears of helpless rage pricked my eyes. Not again. Not again. Gods damn you, Date, I whispered. Date paused in whatever he was doing. He turned to us, still in a crouch, moving in an odd, scuttling manner. His mouth, robes, and hands were stained dark, and his left hand was closed around a dripping lump. He blinked at us like a man coming out of a fugue. I could not see the demarcation between pupil and iris in his eyes. They looked like a single dark pit, too large, carved into the white. He seemed to recall himself slowly.
Where is Saruman? He asked.
Dead, I snapped. He frowned at this, as if confused. Slowly he rose to his feet. He drew a breath to speak again, then paused as he noticed the heart in his hand. Frowning, he tossed it aside and stepped closer to us.
Where is my wife? He asked again.